9. Please rise. Do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held May 30th. Approve all claims through June 13th in the amount of $406,469.31. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Clerk of the District Court Summary Fee Report and Register Deeds Fee Report for the month of May 2012. Approve declaring a surplus a Westinghouse Electric Corporation three-wheel electric scooter, Nordsog Electric Vehicles three-wheel electric scooter, and both need batteries and charger.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion.
What were the scooters from or what?
Veteran Service.
No, that's ours.
Those are yours, huh?
Yeah, we bought them years back for not much, and they just, when we got looking at it, I had to put batteries in. Started to not worth the expense of time to do it. So.
Okay.
Gus, what do you use them for?
We're using for like, the fair, parades, things where we need some more mobility besides a big vehicle, but it's not worth the time and effort.
So are they a golf cart, basically?
No, they're the old style. I think, like, you stay at home, you can use. Warehouses, they're a heavy old electric cart. You use about 9 batteries each.
Patrol vehicle? Patrol vehicle?
Yeah. Where things are going, I don't know.
They're green.
They're green, aren't they?
Electric.
See, to me, the transmission was in it.
It's got a dinger bell on my two sets.
Could we wait until after your budget's set to see if you still need them or not?
Yeah. Any more discussion? Vote 5-0 to approve. Regular agenda. Yeah, Glenn Schwab does want to do the comments from the public, but he had to go into the other room. So, any other comments from the public? Requests for future agenda items. Okay, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Beer Garden for the Gage County Fair, July 25th through 29th.
I'd make a motion to approve the special liquor license for the county fair.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Steve, you want to touch on it?
Maybe both of those gentlemen agree.
Yeah, I can basically.
And then Gus can.
It's about the same thing that we've had each year. We have to come through a special.
Name and address for the record.
Steve Whitworth, 38830 South 10th Road, Blue Springs, Nebraska.
Thank you.
Gage County President. Gage County Ag Society President. Basically, it's the same thing we do every year. There is an exception this year. We added one more day on Tuesday when we had the farmers, the banquet that's put on by the chamber. We plan to host a beer garden for a short amount of time there, although it says from till 1 p.m. We don't know how long that, or 1 a.m., but we don't know how long it'll last. We anticipate probably till 8 o'clock. That's the only change from the years past. And the reason we have to come for a special designated license, we have a caterer's license. We extend the speedway. We have a license for that, but because we have people sitting on the track, we have to fence that off and be in accordance with the liquor laws. So we have to ask for that to be extended.
Okay. Thank you. Gus?
I've talked to Steve and off and on, as we have in the past, in the fair board, and we've worked together on trying to make it better each year out there. And so I've signed off. You'll have, I think Michelle's got a copy there, Sean, I have. And we've had hardly any, well, I think we had no problems last year. It was real good. So Steve knows my concern is he makes sure a lot of his people are out there and being seen, and they wear their shirts. So they've helped a lot, and I think it's been good as far as my office is concerned. I have no problem with it.
Okay. Any other questions? Kathy?
I just have to say that I'm going to have to vote against this because I don't believe that alcohol should be on public property and at family-oriented events. And since Danny's not here, I have to speak for both of us. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? Vote. In favor, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle. Against, Setzer. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Approve or disapprove request for funds from the Visitors Improvement Fund in the amount of $12,000 for the Nebraska Baseball Hall of Fame.
I'd make a motion to approve the request for the Nebraska Baseball Hall of Fame from the Visitors Improvement Fund.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Matt.
Maybe just, I think we'd all have received information, more documentation. I believe the county attorney has reviewed everything. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. You should have got a copy of my memo, too. So.
Okay. And in my comments, I believe in it. I'm a baseball fan. It's good for Beatrice. But Roger does voice the concern of it being in a five-year lease in a private building. My vote will be a no. I am not against it. I am a baseball fan, but I expressed it last time on the private. So, Kathy.
I found it. I went and looked at it. I had to hunt for your sign. I think that it's a good thing. I do not like it being on private property. I think that it should be moved or looked at moving to a public facility, but I will vote for it.
Any more discussion? In Roger's letter, he states that museums are long-term. That's why it's easier to put them in a museum or something where private buildings can change and those type of things. So, any more discussion?
Rich, yeah, I called Jim Spangler, the visitors, and asked him, and part of your packet, what you got, too, was it's the guidelines that's listed for the Visitors Improvement Fund. And I think, as Roger said, too, this does meet all of those guidelines and everything.
Yes.
Some of those maybe we don't agree with or, you know, have questions about. I believe, and Jim could correct me, though, the state of Nebraska, when they set up so that you could have this visitors fund and get this lodging tax, those are the guidelines that most of those, they come from the state of Nebraska.
Yeah, we gleaned quite a bit of those off from Sarpy County, whatever county South Sioux City's in. They had visitor advisory boards prior to us having one. And so a lot of that was taken from their guidelines and then directly from the state statute.
Okay. Did you guys all see Roger's letter? Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Setzer. Against, Adams. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Philly North Bridge update. Keith Kretlow.
This may take a while. This can take a while.
I've never been warned by the sheriff when I come to speak before. Well, first I'll explain where we are, and then if you ask any questions, why you can fire them at me, and I'll try to, so that you know that when we're talking about some project or county or any organization such as a county that wants government aid for either from the state or from the nation, you might want to know what, it's as thick as the Bible. I happen to be a graduate of the school because Roxanne asked me to take the course in 2009. And, it was a little costly, but I learned a lot about buying right-of-ways and what you got to do so that you're approved by the state and the federal government.
And we had done some things wrong because of that, too, hadn't we?
Yes, very definitely. I straightened up In 2009, I straightened up the Apple Road project from Cortland East. That was really screwed up. I don't even know who did it for you. But
we did that one internally, did we not?
I understand that that was done.
Yeah, that was
anyway,
done. Anyway, that was done at the highway.
That
park.
Was, when I got into that, why it was, Roxanne sort of told me what was all wrong, and I said, wow. She said, what do you think? And I said, well, I think you're going to have to go back to scratch. The main thing that most counties and organizations don't realize, and once you take this course, there were 16 of us took the course, and then we had a 2-hour exam after the finished, and I think everybody passed. I don't know. I was only worried about myself. The first thing that you have to do is you have to make an appraisal in the area of where the project is. So if the project, the Philly project, the first thing that you have to do is you have to make an appraisal of what land is valued at. You must have a minimum of 5 sales. And that's the first thing that I did when you bought. Now, I started on this project and then was told that they didn't need my services anymore in 2009, and so consequently, I didn't do anything until you guys rehired me here just recently on the Holmesville project, and then when we finished the Holmesville project, I was told by your superintendent that we needed to go on to the Philly project. So we did a complete appraisal, and you must do it just like you do an appraisal. Go out and find the sales. And, of course, any time when you get involved with the government, you know you're going to have proof, 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 proof. And so here is the appraisal for the valuation of the land in that project. Now, you know what land is doing. I mean, it's, and it's going every day. I thought someday that maybe it'll quit. I'm managed land for 28 years, and so consequently what really shakes me is in 1987 when land went kapoof in 82 to 84, you know what happened. I was in the year of 1987 working for the United States government, and I was in 51 bankruptcies myself. And I hope we don't have to go through that again. But you have to do it, and they want the comp sales within 8 to 10 miles of the subject property. And I think that's is a fair... I'm not questioning a bit this was a good course. It's just that the federal government... To do a right-of-way project, you have a possibility of submitting 42 resumes on about the project, from one thing to the other. Well, here's the appraisal. It's all done. You even have to have aerial photos of the subject. And you know this privacy law is doing. It's almost impossible to do this, but the cooperation from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, I was accused the other day, and wouldn't know if I wasn't an employee of theirs because I spent so much time out there, but you have to hit these maps. But we can buy the maps as long as there's no information on them, no names, no acreages, or anything, so we strip them. The girls are very cooperative. I'm sure it's because I'm a county employee, that they strip them, and I have an area to photograph for $4. Well, that saves an awful lot of problems. Then you must have the proof of the type of the soils that's on the farm. Having worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture for 15 years, right, that's right down my line. So the soils don't bother me. And then... Even though in most court cases you could just say who the grantor and the grantee is and the price they paid, the date, Uncle Sam will not accept that. They have to have a copy of the original deed. And so, you guys set the price. It's only 50 cents a copy if I get it all. They got it. And so there's the deed. Or sometimes you've got three or four deeds on one transfer. And so there is your appraisal, and it is accepted by the state, and it has gone through the test of being accepted by the federal government. So all of the basic work is accomplished. Have you got any questions to that point?
So you're saying right now you have all the appraisals done, and this stuff, this is sitting up at the state's office waiting for their approval.
First you have to create a basis of what you're going to do. You're the condemnee, and I'm going to take 2/10 of an acre from you. I have to prove, or somebody representing you, have to prove what the value of that land is before any negotiations can be made.
Right. But this report is sitting up at the state.
It's done and it's approved.
The state has approved it. You've got that back.
Federal boys, too. I set through their hearing about 2 weeks ago.
There was always somewhere up in here.
See, I think that's what's interesting is if you could share a little bit of the conversation you had when you went to the up there to the state and you walked in the room and you saw the federal folks sitting there.
The federal boys, I started this shit. I really did. But
there was some historical value and some historical knowledge that you gained being there about...
Before?
Yeah.
Keith,
if you can be in front of the microphone again so it picks it up.
Definitely. If you're just going through the first time, you're going to learn a lot. But that's the first thing, and that seems to be, in that hearing, this is what I heard. This is one problem across Nebraska states and the county that somebody don't have the background or hasn't taken this course to know what's required. And you start out, Mr. Bauman, we're going to condemn 5/10 of an acre of land of yours, and boom, boom, we're going to give you this kind of money. No, that's not the way to start. Go and get your appraisal so the figures that you're going to offer, Mr. Bauman, is approved by the state first and the federal. And these boys, I'd say 3 hours was the hearing just on the appraisal. But it is approved. It is approved. All I'm waiting for right now is the right to proceed with the owners to set a value, just like I had to do out here at Hick Road. That went real easy. The things that you want to be careful for is you better have a base value of the land, of the buildings, and you have to, if I'm going to damage your buildings, and Apple Road, if you remember, was all practically new houses on both sides of the road up there. And whoever did the first one never, ever had an appraisal of a base value. One person was offered $5,000 an acre, and the neighbor was offered $15,000 an acre, and that upset the government. And that's why it was tossed out. We have a base, which I can't tell you here. You guys can look at this if you want to. And you can air it, but it cannot be making public knowledge of what you're going to offer until it's been offered. But it better be the, if it's class 2 land with 0 to 2% slope, and we have Dorn and Bauman aside, same kind of land just across the fence, you better offer them the same price. Or it's not going to be accepted. Now out there, you go from class 2 land to 6. That creek there by the bridge, that's class 6. And then you got to take into consideration the fences. They have to be put back better than they were. Other damages you have to consider, and this one's a little tough, that's pasture land. There are animals in that land. How long is it going to be for the contractor to tear out this fence so that we can build the new fence and he can pasture? That's a little tough to... Most of the time, recently in this county that I've negotiated, farmers are cooperative and say, oh, I'll just keep my cattle off of there a week or so. But we will have pasture over there. Now, the cropland over there is all the same class, 2 to 3 soil. And the other thing that was wrong with the original, whoever sent in the original, I only saw the portions that were told it was not acceptable. They didn't even have the right owners on it. I don't know where they got their owners, because that's here. But they did not have the right owners. Another thing is, they divided it. When you have to have the project, they have to have whatever the land is, and you have to have the number of the tract. That one's complicated because Mr. Chapman owns 4 tracts. See, they own the original in the 1950s when I was with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Chapman's owned that half section. Well, now there's an acreage sitting in the middle of it, and then there's a road going through, and then it's split off. But if you put it all back together, even though you're touching him here, here, and over here, it's still all Chapman land. And that was a big argument with the federal boys and the state boys at our hearing. Because I thought it should be, I'm going to negotiate with one man. And then another thing that the federal boys couldn't understand is, well, can't you just go out and see him? I want to be real nice, but he lives 550 miles away from it. I don't think you want to run me 550 miles to talk to him 4 or 5 times. And the other thing that somebody misunderstood, and you have to ask the owner, Mr. Dorn, would you give this land? And that's a poor statement if you're a negotiator to start off with. Would you give this land? I can answer that, but I don't want to use the words that they answer it in. So, and then when you got the appraisal done, which you've got done and approved and signed by the state, this is the original copy, and I keep one of these for a while. Another thing that I do that's a little bit different, in case you have to go to court, let's say that we get everybody out there signed but one person, and that person won't sign. We offer that person X number of dollars for damages, and that person says, nope, condemn me. I thought we might have to do that in the Holmesville Road, but we got the negotiation out and everything. We got Hickory Road out. Everybody was paid the same, just the difference in how much land you took. You have one farmstead out there. You get very close to the house, like about 6 foot. And so consequently, I personally feel that the improvement of the road it'll be good for the farmstead. There won't be a bunch of trashy trees in the ditch that you can't contain. That will be all flicked up and fixed on road. So that will help. The rest of it is either rugged pasture or good cropland. You get those two things to negotiate on out. And a lot of people don't understand that there is a right-of-way that's already yours. And you may be farming it. Like on Hickory Road, they was farming 16 foot of what was right of way. What do you mean I'm not going to get paid for that? Well, it isn't yours. It isn't yours. And that's the main thing that we have trouble in explanation to these people. But treat them all alike. Treat them all alike. And what I have done beyond step one, which is the appraisal, I have actually started step two, which is negotiation, but I have not talked to any of the owners until if I do, it's against the rules and regulations. Because there are 32 right-of-way things to get filled out on each project, on each person. It's complicated. Some of them I don't understand. You must have the day and the hour that you were either approved, oh yes, I'll give it, or no way will I give it. And they must sign it. But that is number one. Right-of-way certificate. Then a short letter on each tract explaining what you're going to do on that tract, the damages it's going to be. Then the authorization or the donation form. I'll give it or no, I won't give it. And they have to sign it. They have to prove that you did that. Then you have a temporary easement, a permanent easement, and they must be signed by the owner and the tenant. So you get involved with two people. Then a negotiation certificate. Then is it going to be a quick claim deed or is it going to be a warranty deed? And you better have somebody, a lawyer or Nebraska Title, come through and research what kind of deeds you're going to use. Then you hit the real tough one like we did down on Holmesville Road. 6/10 of an acre had been in the CRP for 16 years. You got to buy that back from the federal government. And that all takes time to get figured in. And is it going to damage the contract? Well, you ask for such a small amount that you're not going to damage a farm. I think the highest amount we got out there on Chapman's is about 2.34 acres of the whole half section. And that could be changed because they're doing a re-survey right now. That should be done this week. Then, is there a mortgage? Ouch, there is a mortgage on one farm out there. So then I got to go renegotiate with the mortgage holder. I got to get a release on that 2,200ths of an acre and file three different legal opinions. And you get done with that, the state and the federal government will review your valuations on step one. How does it compare what you settled with Mr. Bauman for? And then that information is turned in and then will be reproved. And then you have to have vouchers of the proof of the payment and copies of all of this must be filed locally here. And then that goes to the federal government for the final approval. It's a long, long trip. Any questions to fire out, Matt? The right of way, this is another course that I took up there, and this is telling you all of the forms, and I just, Sunday afternoon, took another hour just to review in my mind. There's a possibility of 42 forms.
Myron.
The right-of-way now has been, the appraisal, I mean, has been done and approved by the state.
Yep.
What is the next step, or what are you waiting for?
I am waiting for your head of your supervisor of the highway department.
Galen.
Last Tuesday, we met and Roxanne gave him the report that it's all finished and ready to go, and she had it, And she's already given me the form. She said, in the next 7 to 10 days, you should be approved to go negotiate. And I'm waiting. I'm hoping the next 2 or 3, that should be by, well, should be by today. That should be the week time that they've gotten to get me the approval to go negotiate. And go ahead, Matt.
Well, no, I appreciate, as soon as we basically said, sick them on this project, you've kind of stepped up and getting a lot of that stuff done. Rex, help me understand, back in 09, I wasn't on Road and Bridge. What firm did we hire in place of you? Who?
Our past highway superintendent was acquiring right away. Because per state law, he can, correct? And so that's why the Apple project, this all changed when the Apple project, some of the projects were done incorrectly. And that's about all I'm going to really, it just wasn't done right.
Okay, so what?
We've redone everything on all those projects.
I think, that's...
Okay, yeah. All right, I couldn't remember.
Basically why in 2009 I took this 409. Now, if the county board would... These books are about $75. I have my own copy.
I have mine,
and
you'll give us a report the next week, Roger, right?
Yeah. Every time you go to school, and everybody goes, and if you pass the exam, it's interesting to see the reaction of the students just get up off of their desk and say goodbye and walk out. That's
Keith,
where I got that.
Keith on
left in the classroom at the Capitol when I took it, and I said, "Well, the county board ought to have one of these," and so here's my chance.
On
to
the Philly right, the project Philly North, and any of the other projects, the county boards have followed the information they were given, correct?
Everything the county board is not a. Be careful, this is not for publication.
public meeting. Yeah, you're in a public meeting on.
Well, you're on
I know it's a public meeting, but I'd appreciate it if you'd.
You're going live.
Do what you can. That's what. But anyway, I'm going to say this. I was eating lunch the other day, and a couple of farmers were eating lunch beside me, and they said, "Oh, the county board has really screwed up in that Philly road." And I said, "Let me tell you right here and there, the county board did not screw up in the Philly project." And then they realized that I was working it. And they said, "Well, how's come it hasn't progressed?" I said, "Because it didn't have the approval of the state and federal government. It had wrong ownership. Mr. Weiss doesn't own any aborted land, but he was one of the condemnees.
But he had the cattle in there."
Yeah, but that I think that's where the mistake was made. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not out who to make it. I didn't know. But Mr. Weiss, they probably was there. They saw the cattle, and he was there, and all of us, you're on it. And it went through in the projects, and that was the tracks. And when I got there, I said, "We still own that land."
And who did that?
I don't know. That was done in 2009.
Okay.
That's all been changed. That belongs to Chapman.
I mean, that's such an easy one to look up.
So I don't... I'm not looking for anybody for fault, but I do know it's not you guys. And I've let that be known to more people than that.
So then moving forward,
we're ahead of the game. You're right now, the board is ahead of the game. It's all Lynn and Lincoln. And when we get, I use the word we because I'm your employee. When the approval to negotiate comes down in a letter to your office down there, I'm ready to go.
Negotiations. That
negotiations
give us a
is
rough,
all that's left.
But a timeline on that could be, who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, that.
But it's supposed to be okayed, was, because we had our appraisal done and the acceptance. And the initial value of what I'm going to offer is in that appraisal. So, hello, Mr. Bauman. I'm ready to, you know that the highway's going to come down, a new bridge gone, and this road's going down there. You know all of that. I'm here to talk to you about your damages. Number one, and I'll get this out of the way quick because it's boom. Would you care to donate the property? Let's get this thing done. And you know about what will be there, and that'll be a, what? That'll be you. Well, I'm sorry, but that's a state deal, and would you sign it that it was 10 and 2 minutes after the gun? And bingo. And that's over. And then here's the dollar figure. Here's what I figure that's going to happen to you. Your fence is going to be replaced, and you're going to have a nice fence. Now, you got a little problem in Philly in that in all of this, they're going to replace it with either a woven wire fence or four barbed wire.
You want in your library?
Posts cannot be over one rod apart.
He's going to tell me.
That's not what's out there. That's why this has 30 pictures of what it looks like today. Because if we have to go to court and it's already graded, I've been this route. My, that thing must have been a glorious piece of farm ground. We had a piece on 77 years ago. You would have thought that was a heavenly irrigated farm when we got in court. It wasn't. But you have 30 pictures taken by me, and the hour of the day that they were taken is all recorded in my diary. That's what it looked like when we negotiated. And that's why you're getting this dollar per figure. And that's already done. So if she'd say, today, you're allowed to go. Now this is what you can do.
So we're sitting on the desk up
we're
north.
Sitting, we're ready to score a touchdown. We're on the 10-yard line.
And that's the important thing. We are in position. We have been in position, but we cannot do anything until they give us the okay to go ahead.
And if they say to go, if he get approval today, I'll be on it day after tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Thank Any you. More questions
Thank
for
you.
Keith?
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
And when you're finished, this basic book with a copy of everything I've done will be either given to you or down to the office.
It'll end up in the clerk's office. So,
yeah, she'll know.
Yep. Thank you, Keith. Thank Appreciate you. It. Approve or disapprove resolution to close Economic Development Fund effective June 30th, 2012, and transfer any money to the general fund. Resolution number 12-14.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 5-0 to approve. Somebody wants to tell Glenn we'll be ready for him here. Gus will. Approve or disapprove resolution to increase the district judge's budget by $2,018.25 as there are insufficient funds in the 11-12 district judge budget to finish paying the obligations of said budget. Resolution 12-15.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 5-0 to approve. Committee reports, building and grounds.
Denny's not here, so probably, well, they never met either.
Yeah, they never
we
met.
Never met.
Economic development.
We have a meeting, our regular monthly meeting scheduled for the 21st down at the auditorium at 4:30. That's our, they've scheduled regular monthly meetings, and whatever Thursday that is, that's when they're scheduled now. And hope to hear something about, I think the last time they had 15 applications, but they had like a week to go yet in applications for director. there was a committee set up to review those, and I don't know if we will at this meeting or not, but hopefully they'll have a meeting whereby they will bring 3 to 6 names to the board, you know, and then set up an interview process and everything. Also, and I think a lot of you know, it was in the paper, on the radio and everything with Alco closing and stuff. Andrea got together with some of the other people in town, Lori Warner down there, and they, you know, they did contact Alco and visit with them. And if you read all the stories and all the articles and everything, so, and the bylaws, we did approve those at the last meeting, and I gave the copy out, but Don's got a hold of me. We'll get the copy that's signed. The copy I gave Don wasn't signed, so we'll get that copy. But that's about where we're at now.
Okay. Emergency management, EMS.
We actually are meeting later this week, and currently where are we at with... I guess we're waiting for final approval on the EMS contracts, get them sent out.
Just talked to Roger today, so there's been multiple departments have sent letters back or contacted Dawn wanting those out. So I just talked to Roger, so those will all be sent out. Michelle, you communicate that to Dawn. She sent me an email yesterday afternoon asking about that. So
yeah, I think pretty much everybody has contacted us now for
so we can go contracts. Ahead and send those out then.
Yep.
Okay. Equalization. But, Kathy? Oops, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
And we're going to have a meeting yet tonight or this afternoon at 3:30 to discuss the pre-meeting before we have a meeting tomorrow with Bruce. So this afternoon we'll talk about that 911 communications agreement. Gus called me late yesterday afternoon with some insight that he wants to kind of visit about. So
Alan Grell always used to call him right before you had him too.
I wasn't invited to the meeting, didn't know about it until yesterday. Or Monday, I guess, rather than that mention, so I thought I should move up to speed on a few things.
Sorry. Okay, so I'm going to try to see if I can get around and get to that. So, anything else on EMS? Kathy, equalization?
Protests are coming in. They will be setting some dates to be hearing the protests. And just moving forward with that.
Okay. Finance.
Oh, last Thursday we met 3.5 hours with Mark Minnelli and Galen talking about the budget projects, how we want to put things together. We wanted to know the direction where Road and Bridge was thinking about and things like that. So that was our first meeting of, I'm sure, more that will come. Getting some requests in from different agencies and elected offices, and I guess some of them want to come before the board and tell their story. That option's out there. If you want to hear a particular agency tell their story, let Dawn know or let me know. I admittedly am lukewarm on it. There's only so much money to go around. So if somebody really wants to hear something from somebody, it's, and if they're requesting that, but at this point we're just saying, well, you know, if someone really wants to hear something, we'll contact you. But so I don't know how you feel about that. I know in years past we've had every single one come. Think about it.
Okay.
The other thing is, if you could hand this down to, I'll give you guys some information. This is just compiling some information from. To compare ourselves where we sit, I did some of this last year. Just I went and eyeballed some of this myself. But as any time you start to put a budget together, it's always good to compare yourself to others and see where you're at. And there's some other information that's out there. So I got on the Nebraska Department of Revenue website, Nebraska NACO, contacted a few clerk's offices. Michelle helped me as well to try and get some information of, where do we sit as far as pay for elected officials, benefits, wages, where do we rank with regard to population, valuation, tax asking, things like that. And so I compared mostly the wage stuff with our comparable counties, which are the same ones that CIR designates for wage issues. And then the last page very briefly compares us to our neighboring counties that touch us. So I just wanted to present that information, make of it what you will. I went and found that information from different sources. I'm responsible for compiling the information together, but I didn't develop the information. So it's out there, but I thought it's an interesting read. Kind of tried to bullet it. I'm sure there's different ways to interpret that, and I thought it was valuable. So I had this, and I started putting this together, and I think I showed a rough copy last 2 weeks, and I thought, well, I'll share this. So resources are out there. I know that at times they can be difficult to find, but they're out there if you dig hard enough, and it takes a little bit to find. So
can you clarify the mandated state retirement you have in the question on the...
Yeah, I tried to make this kind of a question and answer type thing because I was going to post this on my website as well. It says, why do county elected officials get retirement? Well, the county elected officials are part of the state retirement program that's set up by the state of Nebraska. And so we have to contribute to that. We can't opt out. We can't contribute more. There's a set amount that is set by state statute for all elected officials. And county and state employees, I believe, as well. So I know I had to get, even for myself, clarification from the clerk's office exactly how does this work again, help refresh my memory. So this is a state-run program that it's part of.
But when it says in their state retirement, there is no monthly stipend. It's only the money that is put in, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah, there's no lifelong... That's kind of an urban legend, but I think it's something that, you know, people need to have the information, which is the purpose of this. If you go to number five, Roman numeral five, do supervisors get full-time pension or free health insurance after they serve one, two, or three terms in office? No. When you're done, you're done. There's no cash cow that shows up once a month after you've been there for so long. There's no long-term health insurance, whether you serve multiple terms. There's no pension other than what is put into the state plan that is there, that is mandated. So I think that's just good information to know, good information for people to have. And as I hear things, you know, I always try to go back and find out, well, you know, what's the state statute that directs this, or how does this work? Because sometimes I think and I believe isn't always supported with this is the facts. And so that's why it's kind of good. And, you know, as I go through and look at some of this information, it's an education, too. You kind of look where we at comparable-wise and some of those things that a person needs to take into account. And not even some of the things, as I've been on the board for 3 years, you think you're going down a certain road and you find some new information, you realize that that's not the way it should be, that's not the way that it needs to be, and we need to change the way that we're doing things. So education's a good thing, but you got to go looking for it because there's different resources out there, and sometimes you got to dig for it. You have to ask the question in the right manner, too, because it's crazy. If you ask it some way, you have to ask it 3 or 4 or 5 times just to get the information. Anyway, so I go on and on. But that's just kind of an informational FYI thing I gave Chris and Doug a copy, too. So.
Okay.
Other than that, finance committee just working on budget.
Okay. Human resource employee relations.
We did not meet.
Okay. Insurance.
We had our meeting the other day with all the employees, had Northwestern Mutual come down. I think went pretty good overall. I think there were some questions asked, and some employees are maybe getting some answers that they didn't have before, and I think it was a good deal.
Good. Law enforcement.
Yeah, we met Monday. Gus has already started visiting with us about since we the one car down and we're one car short or whatever. He'd come up with some 2011 vehicles that he had some prices on, and then Monday he came back and
he had scooters.
He had electric scooters. Yeah, we're getting rid of them too, though.
We should rethink that.
Yeah, but three-wheel scooters are probably more dangerous, and probably OSHA wouldn't allow us to drive them anyway.
You'd have to wear a helmet.
But he had a couple companies that deal in used cars or whatever with some pretty low miles on some of those, and he had price comparisons for those, and so we're still looking at those and checking in those, see what we can do and how they'll fit into next year's budget.
One more thing I might add.
The project we were working on the outside of the jail over here was an intercom system, and I think by tomorrow that's going to be pretty much finished. I think Bear's going to come in and put a couple signs up. So it was a safety issue. It should have been done years ago. I don't know why it never was. But so now when you bring prisoners in, you don't have to get out of your car, whoever you are. You'll just hit the button, the lands are inside, and then they can open the Sally Port door, so you never have to leave your or bring the prisoners through the front door. So that should be a huge improvement, and that was not very costly. So it's just one little thing that we should be finishing up with shortly.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Myron?
Nope.
Road and Bridge, Myron.
We found out why we're always having such long meetings, and Gary couldn't even believe this. Terry wasn't there, and we were done in 30 minutes instead of the hour and 30 minutes. So when Terry gets back, we'll talk to him about that. No. Galen didn't have a lot either. He'd update us a little bit on this Philly project. And then down there on the Linden Road, they're still grading on that and dealing with some trees that they're taking out and contacting some landowners where to put those and everything. And then they haven't started straightening that curb by the railroad track yet, but they were
within a month he thought
they'd be on there
where
and
we
stuff,
bought so. The road to straighten it, so that'll be a nice addition there.
That'll be really nice. Then down at the building down there in Wymore, he's waiting for a couple more electrical bids on that hasn't been completed yet or whatever. So he has one from the same company that they had a couple years ago, and he'll get back to us when he gets those electrical bids. So,
okay. Would anyone have an issue with me reading Glenn's sheet since he never made it back in?
Well, he's not coming.
I told him he was busy with somebody, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll read. Normally he just reads it, though. You can see if he just wants me to read it. Otherwise,
I don't think we can speak in.
Pardon me?
I don't think we can speak in.
No, I was just going to read his sheet. I can read it.
He's coming.
So,
can you?
Yeah.
Folks, how are you guys?
Good morning.
Glenn Schwab with Aflac. Live here in Beatrice. Most of you know that, I guess. Anyway, what I'm here for is your cafeteria plan, which you have with Aflac. It is only administered by Aflac. It's actually an IRS program. The cafeteria plans are their IRS programs. They're controlled by the IRS, but they allow insurance companies to install them in employers. And but all the rules and stuff are set up by the IRS. We installed this, gosh, I don't know how many years ago. I want to say maybe 95 back in there. So it's been here a long time. What it does, it allows your employers and also yourselves, if you draw salary through the county gauge, to set aside money to pay medical bills that you incur out-of-pocket expenses, and it allows you to pay them with tax-free dollars. Otherwise, you could, if you see in the next 12 months, this plan runs from July through June every year. That's your plan year. And it allows, if you see where you're going to spend $600 out of your pocket in the next 12 months on yourself or your family, then you're allowed to have like $25 a pay period taken out of your check before they tax your income. And then sometime in that money goes into a pool with your Social Security number on it to our home office in Columbus, Georgia. And it lays there till you send them a bill to ask for your money back out. And if you, say, for instance, elect $600 for the year today, for instance, then starting July 1, every payday after that, Barb's going to take $25 out of your paycheck, and it's going to go to Columbus, Georgia, and lay in an account down there with your Social Security number on it. And when you incur a bill that you have out-of-pocket expenses on, then maybe it's a copay or something, then you send that bill to Aflac, and they send you a check back for that amount. They keep doing that till they've paid you back your $600. IRS says that your employer has to make available at all times the total elected amount, which would be $600, for instance. If, Matt, you put in, you asked, agreed to have $600 taken out of your check come July 25th, something happened, and you had to spend $800 of your own money for medical. You can send that to Aflac, and they'd send you a check back for $600. You'd be done. You've got all yours out. But IRS says you have to make the total elected amount available to the employee at any time through the year. That's a risk. There's two risks involved. That's the risk of the employer, that you may quit then the next month. You've got your $600. Your employer is out the rest of it. Because you're only going to have two pay periods. You're only going to have $50 taken out of check, but you actually can allow to get your full $600. That's their risk. Has to be an equal risk also on the employee. If he does not get all his money out by the end of the year, the plan year, then that money falls back to the employer. And the employer can use that money to do anything they want to with, as long as it's a benefit to each employee of the company. Otherwise, they, for instance, if there was $1,000 left over in the kitty at the end of the year that employees didn't take out, then they could use that, an employer could use that money for something that would benefit each and every employee of Gage County. Maybe a water cooler, maybe a coffee pot, you know, things like that. That's what the IRS has always set up. There's a risk for the employer and also a risk for the employee. So at the end of the 12-month period, end of the program, June 30th every year, the employee actually has 90 days to still get their money out from the previous plan year. But after that 90 days, that's the end of it. If they don't have it out by then, it goes back to the employer. Very seldom we have ever lost any money. Anybody's ever lost any money. There has to be a risk involved for each, but it's nothing that you would want to worry about. So, and they do a good job here now. They fax their bills in, I think, don't they, Michelle, most of the time? And when do you get paid, what, 3 or 4 days later?
Probably about a week.
A week, yeah. So it's a pretty good turnaround on your money. There is this fee that the cost to the county, and it's actually, I think Barb told me they're charging you $5 an employer now per month to use this plan. At one time it was less, and one time it was more, and we got it back down to $2, I think. I remember Alan Grell, that whatever year he was here, it got up to around $6, and so we sent in a request to get it lowered and stuff, and they did agree to do it and got it back to $2. But now it's gone up again, Barb says, so.
And was that $5 per employer per month or per employee?
Per employee, yeah, per employee per month. That's a service fee they charge to handle.
And does the county pay that, or does the employee?
County pays that.
That's where our $800 expense comes in, correct?
Well, last year you had $2,112 cost to this plan that the county had to pay. As you see, your total savings was $14,739. That's what you actually saved on. I'll just start at the top here. Total flexible spending account dollars set aside by employees. What that is the amount of dollars that each employee totally took out of their paycheck and set aside to pay out-of-pocket medical expenses with. That totaled $37,188 that they took out of their pocket to pay out-of-pocket expenses with. Okay, you folks as an employer does not have to match Social Security on that amount of money. So you save 7.65 cents on every dollar that they put into this program, your employees put into this program. So you save $2,845 in FICA that you didn't have to match. the employee also doesn't pay Social Security on this money. They, or do they pay federal tax or do they pay state tax on it? They save approximately, the minimum tax bracket in Nebraska, I think, is 25.6%. So every dollar they put in there, they make 25 cents on that they don't have to pay taxes on. You guys save 7.65 for every dollar they put in there. So that was just on the dollars that they set aside for, to pay for out-of-pocket medical expenses. They call it unreimbursed medical expenses. Then your major medical premiums that each employee pays for their family, to cover their family, they get theirs paid for, I think, themselves, and then they have to pay extra to cover their family, whether it's one-parent, two-parent family or whatever. They paid $134,781 to cover...
Hey, Glenn, I think the reason we're confused, ours... paperwork says plan year 09-010 and none of our numbers are the same as yours.
Oh my God.
I think everyone here has the same one, don't they?
I made a copy of the wrong thing.
That's why we're looking at you.
That's why we're
all right.
Trying to figure it out here.
Well, get to your paper.
Okay, I like the 09-10 numbers.
Yeah, we're going to go with them.
Submit this.
But you save more money in 2000.
The next year, yeah.
Do we save
more money? Most people put more money into the program. And when you say, who paid that service fee, $5 each, the employer normally pays that. The reason they pay that is, if the employee had to pay that to use it, the employer wouldn't use the program. Okay. So you guys wouldn't save as much money. But if the employer, this is a hot item in large companies. Every school has it. Every county has it. An employer always pays a service fee. And the reason they do is that gets more people to participate. And the more people participate, the more savings you guys get in FICA. And when I give you the right sheet, you'll see that. I'll be darned.
Well, that's why nothing was
sense
for us.
Well, yeah.
And then I was trying to look at Michelle.
But you have any questions on how the program works?
About how many employees are...
We have 32 using it.
32 using it.
Yeah. Last year you had 32 using it.
Hey, Glenn, if you, you're paying in the code to this...
Do I need another copy?
July 1.
Denny,
are you able to draw out of that before you have all the amount of money in it, or how does that work?
I just told them that a while ago. Your IRS says... I'm not going to say yes or no, but the IRS says the employer has to make the total elected amount available to each employee.
It was the $50,000 that we had budgeted. We'd budgeted $50,000 out of inheritance, and that didn't get transferred. Just never got used.
Okay, that probably looks a little better.
We have to transfer that out.
Catching up better, yeah.
By first, or we can't do it. And I think we only
so it shows up there on your flexible unreimbursed medical was $37,188, 7.65% of that. $28.45, that was your saving in FICA. Okay. Total major medical your employees paid was $134,781. 7.65 of that is $10,310. So that's what you actually saved in FICA on that one. And then the policies that I write here from Aflac, like cancer policies, accident policies, disability policies, that also is run through the cafeteria plan. And that was $20,709 premium per year. And your savings on that was $1,584. And these premiums are paid 100% by the employee. And they're a volunteer program. If they want to buy a cancer policy or an accident policy, disability policy, that's up to them. It's all volunteer. There's no pressure put on them to buy it. I'm sure some of you has run across people that wish they had these plans and some that did have them and has helped them. So it's just a supplemental policy that pays the individual themselves, doesn't pay doctors, doesn't pay hospitals. It gives them money to help cover their out-of-pocket expenses when they're sick or something. Okay, so you have a total savings of $14,739 in FICA last year, and your cost was $2,112, so you ended up ahead by $12,627. Had each employee had to pay their own service fees monthly, you probably wouldn't have had half of this money involved by the employer. And I tell them, you know, it's you might want to thank your employer sometimes, because it's actually a benefit they're doing for you, you know. And it is.
Well,
you get something for nothing, it's a benefit.
It's a benefit to the employee, too. They're saving. This is pre-tax dollars, what they're using for this cost.
Yeah.
And they're saving all of the income tax on that and their Social Security tax on that, which I'm not understanding, I guess, why more of them aren't involved in it or whatever.
The only reason people don't use it because they don't understand it and afraid to ask questions.
You have to look at a historical expense because it's a use it or lose it type deal. So folks are a little bit leery of saying
it. One time forgetting it, then they're done using it.
Someone will, that's not going to go any farther than them words right there, will tell them that. Well, you got to be careful, use it or lose it. And that's the end of the conversation. Someone that understands the plan and then with that talks to them and they're not going to, it's not going to happen. I mean, if you come down to 2 months left and you say, geez, they call me and say, what am I going to do? So I'll meet with them and, let's figure something out. Where's all your bills, you know? And you work with them and it works out, so.
Because even certain over-the-counter medication stuff you can use.
Used to be able to. I think they've taken pretty much all the over-the-counter away. Yeah.
Eyeglasses and...
Yeah, eyeglasses, dental, copay, deductibles.
It's a great preventative.
2 years ago, we had a great year at my job, and a great year with our family. Nobody got sick. So with about 2 months left, everybody got glasses, dentist.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Go get something
back. You had to burn it.
Legal, not legal. I don't know all the rules, but I know there's, I've seen where they went and prepaid a dentist for inspection, you know. So when they go there, it's done.
No, oh, yeah.
But there's ways to get it.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
I don't know how ethical it is or anything, but.
Anything else, Glenn?
But I think it's a good program. And what I will do, I will call and see if we can get this, see if we can get the rates down again. Because I didn't realize they were back up where they were until yesterday, Barb told me.
Okay.
And sometimes when you ask for things, you get them. And if you don't ask, you don't get nothing. So,
yeah, Glenn, if you want, since I'm the chair of the insurance committee, if you need, I can take care of that too. If that helps or whatever, if you need me to call them and discuss with them,
they usually send out a form, and we have to have a reason why and stuff. And then I'll get a hold of you then or something.
Sounds good.
All right. So it is a program that's offered to everybody on an equal basis. The IRS says it has to be offered to everybody on an equal basis. Everybody does not have to participate, but then they either sign on or sign a waiver off, but it has to be offered equally to everybody. So all you guys have to do is, if you don't want to participate or don't see a need for it, just sign a waiver with me and go on. If you want to use it, we'll go that way too. So I'll be here all day.
Okay.
And highway tomorrow afternoon, so.
Okay, right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's...
At least you'll know what you did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. The history was good.
All right.
Is there anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the Gage County Board of Supervisors? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 9:58.
Gus?